in that.
The formula for success.
Anything invested in what I call diversification atmosphere is a bad investment.
The way to wealth is right here. Get yours with Del Walmsley. Weekdays at 2 on the Biz Radio Network.
Welcome back to Biz, to Bar Talk on Biz Radio 1320. This is Art DeLeon with Scott Boats. Before the break, we were talking about estate planning and how it can go awry. During the break, Scott, we had a caller ask, they have a will and a plan in place. How often should they have that reviewed?
They must talk to a lawyer openly and honestly about that will and about everything they own and how it's styled before they graduate on to that next level of life, the great unknown. They must do that. I mean, it's not enough to talk to an insurance person who sets you up with an annuity or a banker or anyone other than a lawyer. So the issue is all the chefs have to talk to each other, but the only chef ultimately who knows what they're doing is going to be the lawyer, because this is a legal issue, this estate matter. We can go to the internet for forms. We can go to Office Depot and purchase them, or anywhere. We can get them out of a book, or we can copy them. You know, our neighbor's forms. I've had people do that. That's ill-advised. You ought to get your own. But you've got to get the chef who knows what they're talking about to look at the recipe that you've got for your estate plan, because the probate lawyer will know about the issue of signature agreements potentially trumping everything else you have. So it is possible to create an estate where everything passes outside of that estate, but you've named beneficiaries under a will who you think are going to get everything you have, but what they end up with is a bunch of trinkets. So, Art, you've got to get a lawyer to draft the will. You've got to open up completely with that lawyer and take the process seriously. It's not enough to show up at the consultation and speak flippantly about what you own without knowing how agreements are styled and how signature cards are set up. It's the most profound thing you can do in trying to take care of the future.
I can't tell you how many times I've had someone come into my office with a will and an existing estate plan and tell me, I'm up to date on this. I don't need any help. And so I'll ask a few questions about how their assets are titled. And then we start digging a little more and come to find out all the assets are non-probate assets, so the will does absolutely no good because everything is in a contract or a signature card or titled in a way that it passes, and sometimes in ways that that person didn't really intend.
That's right. A good will is updated, or a good estate plan is updated frequently. It provides for the Internal Revenue Service. It appoints the right executor, not someone who you kind of feel in your gut is going to do the right thing. But that's a profoundly serious issue that your lawyer ought to talk to you about. It includes the intended beneficiaries. It's one thing to name people. It's another thing to ensure that they actually get your estate. And then last, it disposes of everything. Because if you don't dispose of everything within your will, well, that's sort of the living trust dilemma. You know, Art, flippantly, I described living trust last week as being the bastard child of financial sales and law. That is, it's mostly a marketing technique. A good will does everything you need. All this stuff about, oh, I want to keep my stuff private, I don't want people to look at the inventory of my estate, that's just silly. I mean, you get into a living trust situation, and it's so private that evil people can run roughshod over your estate. Anyway, that's my bias toward living trust. But the point is, if you don't take care of everything, for example, with the living trust, if everything is not styled in the name of the living trust, well, that passes outside of the trust. So you got to use a will anyway. If you don't get rid of everything with the will, Art, it's what we talked about last week, intestacy, the laws of intestacy. That's what comes in and directs property to people. The laws of intestacy are literally hundreds of years old, but they follow the traditional laws which originally those laws favored the male child. Now they just favor the bloodline. So, for example, we all have, you know, same-sex friends out there who are coupling up, or we have people who are single, and maybe they don't have children, or they may have children by various unions. or they're, you know, they're part of an unhappy couple. Those are not individuals who are favored by the laws of intestacy. That's why wills and other forms of estate planning are so important for those particular fact patterns as well. But a lawyer must look at and speak openly with you about your will and your estate plan. Let's just say estate plan.
Let's assume that, you know, we've talked about it quite a bit now, and let's assume that you have a will and you've talked it over with your professional, your lawyer, and it's complete and you're happy with it. And now it's years later and you've passed away. So now we're into the area of probate.
Yes. And the probate process. Now, probate is a description. Look, the word means prove, and in Spanish the word is probarte, but it relates to the notion of proving something. And what you're proving after somebody's dead is that you're proving you have a right to their stuff, their property. So that's what probate is about, proving your rights. And there are courts in the bigger counties in Texas, such as Harris, that have statutory courts for that. But in, you know, Podunk County, there will be a county court with jurisdiction. If it gets contested, it'll be kicked up to a district court, probably a judge who sits the circuit, rides the circuit, you know, goes from one county one day to hear these matters and then another county. In other words, that judge may hear several different counties, that is, with a contested probate issue. But probate is that issue of sorting stuff out, including the probate of wills, the proving of wills, or proving up who gets what when somebody's gone.
Okay, so probate is the process, Scott, if I understand correctly, of transferring the property to the heirs and beneficiaries. What's the difference between an heir and a beneficiary?
Well, term of art, beneficiary means they get something by determination of, for example, me and my will. That's a beneficiary, for example. Or also the beneficiary of a life insurance policy, the beneficiary of a contract, the third-party beneficiary, really, of a contract, for example, between me and, let's just say, Bank 3 down the street. I set up an account, and I want to get it to someone who's very special to me. Let's just say my child. I want the money to go to my child. Outside of probate, that child is the beneficiary. But inside of the intestacy process, heir at law is someone who is declared by a court. And an heir at law is someone who succeeds to the property of someone who's deceased. That's the difference. Beneficiary gets something by designation. Heir at law is determined by a court. I could say, for example, also, however, that the word will, a will is determined by a court. So, for example, if we say that Howard Hughes died and there were over 100 wills filed for him, well, really, that's what the court decides which one is the will. You know, the will is defined by the court.
That's right. So earlier, before the break, we were talking about a probate ward that you described quite vividly. And so in that situation in which the elderly gentleman that was very successful had prepared a will and had a plan in place, and he had children from prior marriages or relationships, and now he has a new young wife, they would be beneficiaries. Is that correct?
They are beneficiaries under the documents that they keep from the new wife. But if the new wife gets the opportunity to create new documents, and it could be, by the way, new husband. I've seen it always, and I know you have too, you know, both sides, you know, the elderly woman who's suddenly got this fella who's in his 20s, and I don't know what's going on with that deal, but, you know, he thinks he's her husband, and anyway, but that's the sort of stuff that happens in life. And so the beneficiary is who is the last person standing when the court gets done sorting out all the fighting that's carried on by the individuals, not the lawyers. Again, it's not the lawyers who are the ghosts and the goblins. It's our own characters and our own tendency toward greed and want what we get in our inheritance right now. It's a prodigal son scenario, prodigal daughter scenario. It's not, you know, the process. It's us. We have the power, you know, to be ridiculous and to demand what's ours and use whatever means are at our hands or not. But the beneficiary art is the last person standing determined by the court. And so the dynamics of that war, the pre-death will contest.
Speaking of the court, what's the importance of what we call an independent administration?
Yes, the independent administration, as opposed to a dependent administration. Dependent, it means it's dependent on court action or the court. Independent is something, for example, probably you and I have both set up with our wills. You know, when you name somebody to act independently from court control, for example, the executor doesn't have to go to the court for authority to sell Blackacre or whatever you have to reduce it to liquid. So that's the difference. Dependent depends on court action, and that's what happens when someone doesn't leave a will or leaves a will that is either overturned or fails to dispose of something. Independent means there is some instrument, that is a will, that allows that person to operate, or the heirs, yeah, that's a good description there, have joined together and said, we are the people who are the heirs of this deceased person, and we want this administration to be independent, not dependent, so that you can come together in concert to get the court to enter an independent administration, which is a wonderful thing to do. It's almost like somebody died with a will. So in other words, if you can put your darker nature aside and come together, you can create an independent administration, save a lot of time and money. That's relatively unique across the United States. Texas has it. That's why Texas probate is a good deal. It's not the nightmare that insurance salesmen make it out to be when they're trying to sell you living trust.
So definitely what we've covered today is you want to have an estate plan. You want to visit and thoroughly discuss it with your lawyer, your professional. You want to be clear on who your executor and who your beneficiaries are going to be. And definitely you want independent administration.
And the good thing about consulting a probate lawyer is that after a while, you just see these fact patterns that we're all subject to. I'm not trying to make fun of this hypothetical rich guy who shows up at the strip club to, you know, find company. I'm not doing that at all. This is a reality that's been around since the beginning of time. All I'm saying is that you got to get the right professional to look at your stuff. I'm Scott Boats with my friend and colleague Art DeLeon. Our colleague Daphne Patterson comes back in 2 weeks. We're talking about estate planning gone wrong, the ghoulish realities of that. This is Bar Talk on 1320 Biz Radio.
At Limousine Enterprises, LLC, they specialize